Hey, let's have the council come back to order. And Joe, we might bring you up here for this phase of this afternoon's work. The formal action before the council today is just to accept this report. But I think the most important thing we can do is give some direction about where we would like this to go next. As I said at the outset, it seems to me on the code and plan side of things, there might be three options: do nothing, wait for the comp plan, or do something now. Obviously, we could also do something now and do something in the comp plan. There are also, these got mentioned, and I know Commissioner Novick, you were interested in talking about this, there are also non-code, or at least non-zoning code options that could be stirred into the mix as well, one of which was in the editorial that you noted. So we ought to talk about, I think, all of those subjects here while we're together.
And yeah, just to elaborate on that, I mean, Mr. Klotz, I think, referenced the Donald Shoup op-ed on parking management concepts where we could possibly create overnight permit districts in these neighborhoods. And what Mr. Shoup suggested is that it's possible to do that and give permits to existing homeowners and not give permits to people who are coming in these new buildings. And I thought that was at least an interesting option to explore and to ask people's opinion on, partly because my understanding is, and I know just enough to be dangerous, that I don't think that would raise the same kind of legal concerns that folks have raised about, like Chris Smith did, about doing a moratorium or, trying to change the requirements on the developers, particularly for buildings that have already been permitted. I think that it's at least conceivable that we could do these little parking permit districts quickly and that they were not subject to the same legal concerns. So I'm interested for the people here who testified on this issue, what their feedback is on that concept.
Okay. Other comments, other thoughts, Nick?
Yeah. I think it's settled, but Joe, we had some testimony from people that seemed to imply that we could take some action that impacts permitted projects have already gone the permitting process and are moving forward. And could you just once again draw the distinction between projects at the front end and projects which are in midstream and our authority?
Yes, and I'm going to depend on Catherine to keep me straight on this, but once the project is in a permit, a permit's been accepted for a project, it's ruled according to the entitlements that we have, the code. So our ability to go in there and undo that, or just once it's vested its entitlements in that way, it's not something that's allowed. A couple of these are going to LUBA. They're appealing it. That's the course of appeal that the public has. So we'll wait for that to play out. As they said, it's on the zoning matter, not necessarily the parking matter. Parking permits, TMAs, all that kind of thing that's not Title 33, the zoning code, yes, we can sort of go back in and do that. They're complicated, and there's administrative costs, and they prove to be very controversial, but that doesn't have, from my understanding, and I'm not a lawyer, that barrier. But once you're vested, once your permit's in the process, we cannot change the rules. The rules are what you were when you filed.
The other thing I just wanted to bring up is that Linda and at least one or two other people mentioned SDCs and how we allocate systems development charge monies. And I guess the sense was that this was part of a mitigation plan. As long as we're going to get density and some of these negative impacts, let's make sure we spend some of the money in these areas. And I just want to observe that, as Linda knows, because her organization recently requested and obtained a briefing from the SDC coordinator on how the program works and what the rules are. To the extent people are interested in that issue, Parks is currently in midstream in a SDC review process, which we're required to do by law on a periodic basis. If people have questions or concerns about SDCs, that's not strictly part of what we're talking about today, but there are opportunities for people to weigh in about how we set the rates, how we allocate the monies, where we invest. That's fair game for people to comment on. And I appreciate Linda raising it. It's not directly related to the parking point, but there are ways for people to be heard on that issue too, Mayor.
Good.
I have a question for Joe, and that is the issue was raised about design review. And I seem to remember that state regulations preclude us from allowing or requiring design review in all but a certain area. Could you remind me about that, please?
Yeah, Commissioner, under state law, when people talk about design review, there's an assumption that it goes to the design commission or goes to staff, and you actually have discretionary design review. Under Oregon law, you can have design review outside of the central city. In the central city, and I believe in Gateway, you can have non-discretionary design review. But everywhere else, you have to provide a two-track system, which means that you define a set of standards, and if the developer can meet those standards, they don't have to go through design review. And so that's sort of the system that's out there, and there's a lot of dissatisfaction now with the standards, and that's something that we're working on in the comp plan. The second big issue with design review in terms of expanding its application is just the cost of administration, because we're on a fee recovery or cost recovery kind of fee basis. So those fees related to design review, once we broaden the and the staffing up of the Bureau of Development Services related to that, have always been a hurdle that has kept us pretty conservative in our use of design review.
But there is already a two-track system so that on division, if a developer doesn't want to use the standards, they could ask for design review.
Right. Currently, there is not design review required on division, but if there was, there would be a two-track system.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
And do we have the authority to require design review on division?
Or would that require standards, maybe?
Would that be something that would require a state law change to have any kind of design standards?
No, I believe you could apply design review under a two-track system on division, but the barriers have been the adequacy of the standards track, the extra cost and time to development, the ability of the city to administer this, because division's not the only division in the city, and you're going to want to see this. Right. There's a concern about proliferation and treating everyone equally. It's a tool that potentially could be effective. It's a tool that we have, in our more recent discussions with BDS, don't really feel like we have the fiscal means to successfully administer.
So that would be more of a long-term discussion about, are there particular places that on the comprehensive plan map, when we do the comprehensive plan update, we may want to strategically budget for design standards and review elsewhere?
Absolutely. One of the projects that we know we need to do and want to do as a follow-up to the comprehensive plan is to update those design standards for two purposes. One is where we do that design review, they'll be more effective. The second one is, when we update them, we could find things in the standards that we could just put into the base code. So then you don't even need design review to maybe get a better result. But it's just bandwidth, making a priority of the project and getting it done. But that is a track that we're very interested in doing.
Thank you. And then finally, I know you've been thinking about doing some interim changes that we could do until the comprehensive plan work comes back to council in a couple of years or so. Those are not quite final. Could you describe some of the points that you're thinking about that you could get done, and how quickly could this go to the Planning Commission and come back to council?
Sure. I'd say that the kind of measures that are well suited for interim kind of approaches, because we can get them done quickly and they're clear and simple and hopefully address the problem. This notion of thresholds, set a certain threshold for a number of units or a size of project, establish a minimum parking requirement that seems, you know, reasonable given all the trade-offs we'll have to look at. That goes into effect while we're trying to figure out a longer-term solution. That's one approach. Loading, this whole sort of taking a look at when loading is required and what kind of loading is required, is something that I think we may be able to do in a short-term thing. It may prove to be more complicated, but that...
Are you talking about, like, loading zone?
Yeah, loading spaces, Commissioner, when they're required and when they're not. That could have taken care of the Tacoma issue that you heard about, Tacoma in 17, although we're a little bit scratching our heads about it. Disability, ADA accessibility, providing for visibility and on-site, you know, that's something that we'd like to... that conceivably could be part of an interim fix. And then fixing this... alignment between the frequent transit service routes and what the zoning code is, making sure that is in sync. So situations like Tacoma and Fremont where the routes change but the zoning is still there, we've got a means to keep that from happening.
Joe, you left out one that was on Alan's wish list. I'm just curious what you're thinking of the cumulative impact test is.
We're going to cumulative impact.
And as I read it, really gets at this question, like in division, where at some point one building may not be an enormous problem, but three or four in close proximity just becomes a bigger problem.
Totally. And, actually, with the beginning of this study, we've got a work group together with the Bureau of Transportation and Bureau of Development Services that's been hashing through these kind of options. So we have talked about that. We can push on it more. It strikes me as probably longer range than the interim fix because of the administrability of it. Like, what's your radius to say that's your parking catch in an area? Is it first come, first serve? And then once you've used up all that capacity, whoever comes in next can't participate. So there's challenge, just things to think through about how that's actually workable.
As opposed to a standard that applies to everybody.
Correct. And actually PBOT was, who would administer something like that and have to do the analysis, is thinking about it, but finds the ability to really have a workable cumulative traffic impact or parking impact study like that challenging. But we haven't given up. I mean, we've just started those discussions. I think it's longer range.
I'm very pleased with your four proposals and wondering how quickly those could get to the Planning Commission and get back to the City Council.
Our hope is that we can put a proposal out there for public discussion within a month. And then, we'll have 30 days plus for sort of review and comment on that. And conceivably, we could be in front of the Planning and Sustainability Commission in March.
And I assume the commission could clear its decks sufficiently to hear this quickly?
We can do that.
Okay. Yeah, we will squeeze it in somehow.
Well, I think, Mayor, one of the things that's on their list is West Haden Island, so if you were to give them permission to do this first, that would be helpful.
I will. So it sounds like there may be, put words in everybody's mouth, a sense of the council that we do want you to, it's time to move from a general discussion about these issues, which we've had at both a very lengthy and comprehensive forum at the commission and also this good discussion this afternoon, to move to some specifics. We rely on the professionals in our bureaus to come up with those specific policy proposals, so I want to ask you to do that.
Correct.
And to get those drafted and available for public review and in front of the Planning and Sustainability Commission in early February. And then we'll at the same time ask PBOT to look at some of the ideas that have been raised both here and in the editorial and in the community about what might we do in transportation, sort of a separate track. Those proposals don't have to go to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and they can be considered here for what we might do in terms of measures that affect both the projects that have been built already and going forward. That's, again, a separate track, but there's some ideas on the table here about parking regulation and to look for innovative ways to manage the problem we have, even while we're trying to do some adjustment to avoid having a bigger one in the future.
Mayor, can I also suggest just one additional issue that perhaps either legal or PBOT or both could look at to give us a little primer? And that is, on the question of access, what are the state and local and federal laws that govern the access question? We're a city of young people and older people, and we want to be an age-friendly city. And frankly, I think we would benefit from knowing a little more about the architecture of federal law, state law, and local law that applies to accessible units for older adults. And that includes whether any of the applicable law looks at proximity to your housing in terms of available parking.
Oh, I see. So you mean whether there are any accessible spaces required or should be because of ADA anyway?
Correct. And what occurred to me in the course of this excellent forum today is that if the law requires that everyone be treated the same and have the same choice and access, buildings that don't provide parking and that you have to walk 5-10 minutes to get to when you park, de facto disqualify an older adult or someone with a mobility issue from living there. And does that trigger a legal, does that trigger a civil rights issue or a legal issue that we need to know about?
We haven't looked at the legal issue, Commissioner, but we've talked about the issue with PBOT, so they're already generating some ideas.
All I would say is just to guide, I think, over the next month, if someone could give us just a little two-page document just identifying the law that applies.
Combination of your office and the city attorney's office, it sounds like. Okay.
We'll figure out how to get it done. Okay.
Good. Other direction or requests? If not, then I believe we do need to act on accepting the report.
Move acceptance of the report.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
No,
no, we have to do that by roll call.
You can do anything by suspending the rules.
We don't need to suspend the rules for that. Let's do a roll call. Let's save that for when we really need it.
Well, thank you to everybody who took their time out of their day today and off work or out of your other busy schedules. Thank you to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff and the Planning Sustainability Commission who have looked into this over the last 6 months or more. It brought together two of my passions, community engagement and planning and zoning. So I'm very grateful to Mayor Hales for holding this hearing today and for the report. We are talking about choices, and we are not talking, in my mind, about social engineering. We are talking about ways that everybody has the choice to live in a wonderful place like Division or Fremont or Selwood. And so that means not only people with mobility challenges, older adults. It also means families with small children whose daycare doesn't happen to be on the same bus line, and that they need to be able to have their car close to get the children to daycare in order to be able to get to work on time. It means shift workers, such as I was at OHSU for 22 years. It was not practical for me to take a bus home at midnight on a Sunday evening. It would have taken a very long time, and it wouldn't have been safe to walk or bike, especially bike because I'm not very good at it. So that's what we're talking about here. We're not something like 0.25 units per parking spaces per unit. You know, 25% of the units have a parking space. That's not going against what we believe in terms of our climate action plan, in terms of the way we want to develop. It means it's about choices. And so I'm very excited that we can get this back in short order to have this interim fix at the same time as we continue the good work with the policy expert groups and the other work that's happening with the comprehensive plan. And I particularly thank the Neighbors for Responsible Growth and others, neighborhood folks who have come in today. If you don't care about your neighborhood, it's likely that nobody else is going to understand the challenges to it. And I got involved in 1991 when it wasn't the parking spaces that were going away in my neighborhood, it was all the trees that were going to be cut down in a subdivision. And so it's important not only what I'm impressed with a lot of the neighborhood folks who are here today and who have been participating, you know that we have the goalpost rule. You know that we cannot affect the projects that have already been permitted. What you're looking at is the next one and the next neighborhood who's going to be impacted, and asking the council to do something quickly to make sure that we right-size our zoning and parking requirements. So I very much appreciate that. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales, for bringing this matter forward on an expedited basis. Thank you, Joe, for teeing it up for us and giving us sort of the lay of the land. And special thanks to everyone who took time to spend the afternoon educating us about the on-the-ground concerns. And I feel like we have now a pretty clear understanding of the range of options. And I think we have a preliminary understanding of some of the trade-offs. And I think the timeline the mayor has outlined is a good one. It's a fast track, but it's a good one to get us to put in place an interim measure until we do a more comprehensive look, and I support that. Thank you. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, this has been a very informative hearing, and I appreciate everybody's thoughtful testimony, and I do support asking our Planning and Sustainability Commission to take a look at interim measures, and more than willing to take a look at what they come back with in terms of recommendations, and to further address this issue in our comprehensive plan. So thank you all. Aye.
Novit.
Aye.
Hales.
I want to thank the council for a good discussion. This is important stuff, difficult trade-offs that we have to do in this room on land use and planning issues and on a lot of others. I want to thank the staff who've moved quickly to evaluate the situation, analyze it, and come to us prepared to move on both an interim and a longer-term basis. And then again, I just want to commend the great and thoughtful work that's been done by neighborhood activists to raise this issue, pose it in the larger context of the kind of city that we're trying to become, but also urge us to do something about a current problem. So we're building the future city, but we also live here now. So we're going to try to strike that balance. I appreciate the good work that's been done. Look forward to swift action on proposals that the Bureau will bring forward and other parallel work on transportation options that might complement that work. Aye. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Thank you.